Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Happy Friday. The weekend is near. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We're closing in on preseason game two for the Redskins. Late night Nats, a winner last night in San Diego, thanks to an eighth inning solo homer from Ryan Zimmerman in a pitcher's duel. Danny Ruggiero's got a dry fit on, so all is well with the world.
Edwin Jackson. I wish things were different. I wish almost the division race was really close so we could do this like daily Nats kind of update, because a team's nipping at their heels with all the injuries and everything else. This Edwin Jackson story, to me right now, is one of these stories in sports, and no one's talking about it. People need to recognize how ridiculous it is that he's just floating around in the ether. Probably couldn't pitch for most AAA clubs as of like a month and change ago. Next thing you know, he's out there shoving. Granted, it's against some bad opponents in terms of offenses, the Angels, the Padres, whatever. But the fact that Edwin Jackson, just steadying hand and influence at the back end of the Nationals rotation while they just are not scoring any runs at all. Of course, Edwin Jackson went seven strong, gave up one run last night. Of course he did.
I said this on the quick pitch this week.
It's amazing.
I believe this. We always talk when we do our shows about other sports about the organizations where things just seem to work out for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the culture they create. But if you look at football, the New England Patriots or the Green Bay Packers, where they bring in some player as a reclamation project, and next thing you know, this guy who didn't work anywhere is great for them. You see it in basketball with the elite teams and in hockey. I think the Nats are that team for baseball, and there are a couple of others. But they have a great culture. They have a great process. They draft, they groom, they develop well. They've got a terrific coaching staff, really all the way up at every level, including at the big leagues, led by manager Dusty Baker. And it all starts with Mike Rizzo, who, in my opinion, is one of the best general managers, not just in his sport, but
anywhere,
in all of sports.
It's amazing.
They got a really good thing going. So guys like Edwin Jackson, who, when you bring him to Baltimore, is going to be terrible on a bad pitching staff, comes to Washington on a good pitching staff with a good pitching coach. In the case of Maddox, a great one. And he's going to be a lot better. But Kinsler pitched a clean eighth last night. Sean Doolittle, a fantastic ninth. Struck out a couple. Perfect for a save. His 13th of the season. We'll get more into the Nats a little bit later on, but they won 2-1. They just keep winning. They don't have four of their important hitters. They don't have a couple members of their rotation that they anticipated having. They are still without vital pieces in their bullpen, and every time you look up, they're over 20 games over 500, and luckily they're in a horrific division,
yes.
So even if they do scuffle for a couple days here and there, they normally don't lose any ground.
Basically, haven't scored over three runs but one or two times this month, and I think went 6-3 on their homestand and now started off 1-0 in this road trip. It really is cool. They are finding ways to win, as cliche as it is.
Tomorrow, Redskins, Packers at FedEx Field. Your first chance to go out to Landover, Maryland. The artist formerly known as?
Raljohn,
Maryland.
Never forget.
We forget.
Never forget that was a thing.
But it looks like more buzz, more intrigue about this game than last week should be coming, because there's going to be a lot more important Redskins playing than 1 week ago. Remember when we didn't have defensively Junior Gallette, who everyone was giddy about. The guy on offense you're most excited to see is Josh Doctson. He didn't go last week. Arguably the team's best wide receiver and certainly the most productive over the last couple years still on this roster, Jamison Crowder, didn't go. Neither did Jordan Reed. Among those players, a few are going to be back on the field. Now, Gallette is still not going to play this week. It's going to be next week against Cincinnati before we see him. Jamison Crowder will play. The hunch I'm getting on Josh Doctson, based on everything Jay Gruden said yesterday, is that he's also going to go. That's not a lock. They're going to check him out pregame. But if you ask or read the work of any of the reporters who were at practice yesterday, he was running around without incident, and Gruden, after practice, said that he's good to go if they choose to play him. So I'm betting that they have Crowder, that they have Doctson to go with Pryor. The only guy on the offense that means a whole lot that won't be on the field is Jordan Reed. On defense, Sua Cravens is now hurt. But Zach Brown's going to make his first start, operating next to Mason Foster. I think those are the two best inside linebackers on the team, so I'm excited to see what that looks like.
I think that's how it shakes out, too, yeah.
The first team defense last week, Danny, no one talks about this because the offense looks so bad. You know that the first team defense had two drives and went three and out twice.
They're pretty solid for me. I liked what I saw, yeah.
So you get a chance to tune it up against one of the best teams in football, Green Bay, against one of the best quarterbacks of all time in Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be on the field. We'll get a better look at the D, and more importantly, with Kirk Cousins and these receivers, that timing starts to come into play.
Ryan Anderson's got that stinger, and they're being cautious and careful with him. So that's going to be curious as to how that plays out as well. I wish I could see him just unleashed for 40, 50 plays or however many they're going
to
run.
It's suddenly important for him to be on the grass, too, because he's trying to win a starting job.
He's got a shot at it.
It didn't look like he was going to be a number two guy at that position, but with Trent Murphy hurt and Junior Gallette still not playing, it's him or Preston Smith, who hasn't played in one of the preseason games already. After this week, he'll be one out of two, and maybe Anderson will be one out of two.
So we will see how it goes this weekend. And we're going to talk about what you want to see in this game in the 12 o'clock hour, because there's a lot. There's a laundry list, given the Redskins' starts over the last three seasons, given how lethargic and kind of going through the motions they looked in week one against Baltimore. Thank goodness those games don't count, obviously, but there's still some benchmarks that you'd like to see. And we've gone back and forth about this a bunch, but as a lifelong Redskins fan, I didn't care what Joe Gibbs' teams did in the preseason. I did not care because you've got a track record of excellence. You knew that when it came time, those guys were going to lay the wood on people. I don't have that same track record with the Redskins since Dan Snyder's owned the team, or really since 1991.
You don't think they're going to shine when the lights come on?
So I don't necessarily feel that way. Primetime game, I'll be terrified. When they get back to close to 500 in primetime games since they moved to FedEx, now I'll start to feel confident.
By the way, way too many primetime games on the schedule this year.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They've got five, I believe.
Every fan should panic. Everyone should be panicking.
Five primetime games, almost a third of their season.
Name how many they should have.
Well, if it was up to me, zero.
Zero primetime games.
Because that would mean that they'd have a better record at the end of the year.
It would play 1 o'clock. If it was up to me, they'd play at 1 o'clock on Stoddard Elementary Field right by my apartment. That's what they would do.
Would you go to the game? Because you've said you'll never go to another game.
No, I would watch on television still.
So why do you want it at the elementary school field near your house?
Because they have nice grass there.
Oh, okay.
They can't get that right at FedEx.
No one would get hurt.
It's really nice grass.
So with all the guys that may now play and the team suddenly getting a lot healthier, we want to put the focus on and isolate Josh Doctson here for a moment. He is actually, I think, this week the big story. He's back from this hamstring. By all accounts, he looks great. He had a tremendous training camp. He rivaled Terrell Pryor, who got all the national headlines for whatever reason. I think it's just because he's a former quarterback at Ohio State, had the big year last year. He's a needle-moving name, has been for years in football. I mean, this is a guy that's been nationally relevant since he was debating between Michigan and Ohio State, and he's an amazing story as this recently converted wideout who put up huge numbers and has a chance to become one of the premium players in his position in the sport. So I understand why everyone wanted to talk about Terrell Pryor, but when you whittle back some of those videos of him making his one-handed catches, what you see is that Josh Doctson turned just as many heads. The coaching staff was just as thrilled and elated about the way he was playing in practices than Pryor. Here's the question we'll tackle, but we want to pose to you on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines next. And we do this on the eve of his preseason debut in 2017. And on the eve of him playing for the first time for what is hopefully 20 appearances unimpeded with the Redskins this year. Josh Doctson, year two. Stud or dud? Something we do from time to time with players on the Redskins. Little game, stud or dud. Josh Doctson is who we're asking you about. And it's not for the rest of his career. It is for this season.
Year.
So you can define stud however you'd like to. I mean, you hear that word, I think you think like Pro Bowl type numbers. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is stays healthy, produces at a high enough level at year's end that everyone says, I'm glad they drafted Josh Doctson in the first round. And by that definition, he will be a stud this year. I think you're going to like Josh Doctson with his size, speed, hands, and ability to separate and go up in high point footballs way more in January than you do now. And that's how I'm basing this. Will you like him basically a lot more or a lot less or be equally as frustrated at year's end? You're going to like him a lot more. So I'm going to say stud, not dud, for Josh Doctson this season.
So criteria, it doesn't necessarily mean he leads the team in receiving yards, touchdowns, receptions, you know, et cetera. This is more, hey, I'm glad we have him. I'm glad he's here. Right? Kind of that bar, the metric we had for maybe Jamison Crowder in his first full
season. I actually think that's a good definition.
Right?
When we talk in week 18, I'll use that in air quotes, like days after the season ends, early January.
We'll talk bright spots.
Will we say great step forward for Josh Doctson. Like, I'm excited for him next year because he's coming into his own and has a chance to be a star. Or will we be saying, we don't know what Josh Doctson is? I mean, I wonder if that guy's ever going to be good in the NFL, because it's going to be one of those two things.
Right, yeah.
Stud is the first, dud is the second.
So I've got dud, not necessarily because I think he's going to just fall on his face and be, you know, not remember which way to run or do like a JaVale McGee type thing, but I need...
You mean when he wins the championship with Steph Curry?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Later on, by the way, down the line, Josh Doctson will be a number five for the Patriots or something.
Never forget.
Please don't forget it.
Life is not fair. John Wall has no rings.
But Nick Swaggy P is about to get himself a ring, too. Just joined the Golden State Warriors as well.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. It's, again, there's nothing fair about sports. Nothing is fair.
Why did that happen?
To stick a needle in my eye and twist it around. That's what happened.
Was Gilbert Arenas unavailable to go back to the Warriors?
Listen, if Gilbert Arenas won a championship, I'd be fine with that. That's produced, true. Did some things.
What about if Javaris Crittenden got out of prison?
Because he's in a federal penitentiary, right. Never forget.
Got out of prison, signed with the Warriors, and then was the finals MVP. How would you feel about that?
Wouldn't be pleased.
So you're going dud for Josh Doctson.
Right. I think he'll, well, we're counting two practices as like this victory that he's made it through and he might be available for 30 snaps in a preseason game. I need to see it. The idea of missing his entire rookie year the way that he did, the constant nagging different things. Well, once this gets over, once the hamstrings finally back to health, I just see a Malcolm Kelly off-injured, plagued guy. We'll be tantalized by the talent because he looks the part. He's out of central casting to steal a line from my friend Grant Paulson. He looks like what you want a receiver to look like.
Get off the bus first, dude.
Yeah. Whoa, look at that guy.
Yeah.
Look at
this
that
is
animal.
What this team's all about? Yeah. Oh, dang.
We'll be tantalized by it, but I'm going to be pining for a defensive player they should have drafted last year.
I just think it's too early to slap on him. You know, two's a coincidence. In general, in my life, one happens, it just happened.
One's a freak thing, two's a coincidence. Yeah. What's three?
Three would be a trend.
Three.
And then four, we're at it. This is a hard and firm thing.
Yeah.
800-636-1067. Your calls are next. Where are you at, Redskins fans? Day before preseason game two. Stud or dud, what is Josh Doctson going to be this season at year's end? Will you love him or will you be worried about his future? You're listening to The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.